Welcome to another edition of Get Lit with Literature. This is Monk, and featuring a book which I read slowly because it's not so much a book as a collection of stories and anecdotes. It was published in 2006 by Fulcrum, The World We Used to Live In, Remembering the Powers of the Medicine Men by Vine Deloria Jr. He was an author, theologian, historian, and activist for Native People's Rights. A ton of books, one of the most esteemed and recognized authors, helped put Native writing, so to speak, on the map in the sense that traditionally coming from a culture without books, but in order to communicate in the world nowadays, sometimes the books are helpful for that. So I read a bunch of them, and this one is unique for the stories that it presents. If you're unfamiliar with this type of thing, it could blow your mind, or you could be totally skeptical. But part of the point is that it makes you think outside the box and makes you think what is possible if we can't explain everything, and if there might be another reason for why something happened or can happen. So the chapters are Dreams, the Approach of the Sacred, Powers Conferred on the Medicine Men, Continuing Communications, that has to do with ceremonies and lodges, Interspecies Relations, the Land and the Cosmos, Sacred Stones and Places, Unusual Exploits of Medicine Men, and the Spiritual Universe. To give some flavors, I'll read a few bits. In the introduction, the universe of spirits. Every Indian tribe, or nowadays I think nation is more accepted as a word, every Indian tribe has a spiritual heritage that distinguishes them from all other people. Indeed, in the past, recognizing their unique relationship to the world and its creatures, most tribes describe themselves as the people, or the original people. Regarding themselves as unique, they rigorously followed the commands of the spirits as they had experienced them over uncounted generations, and recognized that other peoples had the same rights and status as themselves. So the idea of quarreling over the traditions by which they lived was felt to be absurd. Religious wars then were simply inconceivable, and while they may have fought ferociously over hunting and fishing grounds or launched hostilities in vengeance, the closest they come to combat over beliefs and practices was to find medicines, powers, that could negate the medicine and power possessed by other peoples. And here's a little section about the Navajo, or the Diné, as they would call themselves, Navajo diagnosticians. Today, in several tribes, medicine men work closely with Western-trained doctors. The most published cooperative effort between Western doctors and medicine men seems to be happening on the Navajo reservation in Arizona. Perhaps it is fitting that this joint effort should occur there because Navajo healing powers are immensely complicated. They use a two-step process of diagnosis and healing that is as sophisticated as Western practices, but often more thorough. According to Leland Wyman, the function of the diagnostician is to discover not only the cause of illness, but also to recommend the treatment to be used. Sometimes he recommends actual therapeutic measures, although usually he simply tells what kind of chant should be sung over the patient, and to recommend a particular practitioner who can apply that treatment. This sometimes results in a change of medicine men during an illness. There are three kinds of diagnosticians used by the Navajo. One, the hand trembler. Two, the stargazer, and three, the listener. And here's an example of the stories that are included, and then Deloria comments on them or explains them. This is in the chapter Sacred Stones and Places, a section called Crooked Foot Finds the Buffalo. Crooked Foot was asked to ascertain by means of the sacred stones where buffalo could be found. The stone that he used was egg-shaped, and he was said to have found it on top of the highest butte near his home. When giving this performance, Crooked Foot had the stone encased in a bag. He said, "The stone has now gone to look for the buffalo, but when it comes back, you will see it." The people then prepared a place on which it was expected that the stone would appear. This was done by pulverizing the earth for a space about a foot square and covering this place with buffalo hide or with part of a red blanket. All watched this place, and after a time, the stone appeared upon it. Crooked Foot questioned the stone concerning the location of the buffalo, and the tribe, acting on his advice, found the herd as he had indicated. So, in the English language, there are such expressions as dumb as a rock. But to native peoples, the rocks are ancient beings that actually have intelligence and can be used for healing and literally finding things and many other purposes. There's a whole consciousness shift if you step into this book. There's a whole consciousness shift than you may be used to. And towards the end of the book, in the spiritual universe chapter, it gets a little more kind of cosmic, philosophical, spiritual, whatever you call it. The substance of the universe is relationships, the symmetries, and their structure. Indians say we are all relatives. Modern physics seeks to uncover the final piece of the puzzle in its pursuit of Higgs boson, believing that in finding this elusive particle, they can completely describe the universe. Even if successful, they will have only completed the logical circle and described the physical universe, which is, after all, merely a frozen thought. In their ceremonies, medicine men are able to change the world and present it with new paths to follow. By healing, predicting, and locating lost objects, they cancel out the determinism of the physical and create different worlds that are consonant with the activities and direction of the world behind appearances. It says that even if science or whatever explanation describes something exactly how it supposedly is, that still there is room for some other experience or some other change or some other adaptation or something we just simply don't know. Also, there is mentions of the power of songs and also reports of corn growing at ridiculously fast pace compared to what you may be used to. The growing of corn and other plants provides us with an empirical example when, through songs, the Zunis and Pawnees were able to increase the rate of growth of plants so that they matured in a very short time. Here we have an intersection between the two worlds, physical and spiritual. We also have the intervention of the sacred changing the nature and experience of the plants. How then do we gauge the kind of time with which we are involved? We have already seen how Geronimo could make his people invisible. There is another story where he made the night last longer than usual. So there's a lot of unexplainedness in the book, a lot of interesting stuff, a lot of mysterious stuff, and I think quite pertinent for nowadays, because these are the types of ways of thinking or openness to other than how everything seems to be known and explained by the books and by the science and by the schools and by the news and the experts. But then you have all these curveballs and all these unexplained phenomenon, which whether you can explain them or not, if they happen, as in that story where using the stone they found the buffalo. So if there's a phrase that I had learned way back, one of the first phrases I learned about this kind of stuff was spiritual science. If in through repeated timing, through repeated experiences, you can, using less than quote scientific information, say guided by a dream to do something or find something or an intuition, and the proof is in the experience that it works, if you can repeat that over and over and over again in some form, to me that's proof. Like there is a science to that non-science or that spirituality. Maybe you're not going to prove it to somebody else, but even if it's just for your own lifestyle or behavior, it's still valid. But there also can be, I think, these universal ways that it is not just for you, but that other people can learn from these types of ways of thinking and behaving and manifesting, as the trendy phrase is. And that may well be what is needed nowadays, I think, to help get past these points where we do not have anything else to add to the story. But there's always something to add to it at every second. So thanks for listening. Have a good one.